So driving back from North Carolina in 2022, my husband Jeff and I stopped to stretch our legs and check out Natural Bridge. We'd never been, so we were really excited to check it out. And it is awe-inspiring. Has anybody seen Natural Bridge? Yes? Okay, a couple of folks. So it's 215 feet high, 100 feet wide, it's 40 feet thick of natural limestone, and it's an arch carved out over 200 million years by Cedar Creek. It's on the front of the bulletin, so you can take a look there. The Monacan Indians called this wonder sacred, naming it the Bridge of God. And as we hiked back up the series of steps to our car, I snapped a picture in the parking lot of the giant letters LOVE, with this picture of the Natural Bridge and the surrounding landscape painted on it. And it turns out, as I was thinking about it, the Bridge of God is love. In John's gospel, Jesus is giving his farewell discourse, his speech to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. They're gathered, they're eating supper, and Jesus has just knelt down as a servant would and washed the disciples' really grungy feet. And after identifying Judas as the one who would betray him, Judas has left to carry out his fateful act. And we hear today's reading. If we continue a little bit further past these words, we find Peter's claim that he will boldly lay down his life for Jesus, followed by Jesus predicting Peter's denial. It's a devastating and uncertain time, and it is precisely the moment when Jesus chooses to talk about love. We hear Jesus command, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." But because it is so familiar, it doesn't really pack the punch that it should. We hear love. We think about rainbows and puppies, long walks on the beach, sappy movies. Maybe we think about relationships and love between spouses, partners, families, and friends. But John's gospel goes further. Right between betrayal and denial, between Roman oppression and the upcoming Passover celebration, love enters in. Love shines brightly in the middle of all of this nastiness and messiness of human life. And this doesn't mean that love doesn't occur in relationships with those to whom we are close, but that the kind of love Jesus is talking about pushes it even further. It's tough stuff. It's love in action. It's a love that is crazier, more radical, and even more foolish. Jesus knows that upcoming events will scatter the disciples in fear. He knows his crucifixion will strain the community. He knows that his resurrection and ascension, the community will struggle, and there will be disagreements and conflict within, as well as outside of the church. And so he gives this visible sign of love, a humble act of service, kneeling to wash one another's feet. Whereas Jesus knew what lay ahead, his disciples did not have a clue. They didn't know what would happen to them in the future, where they would be going, what they would be doing, where the roads of life would take them, what fates they would meet. They didn't know what was about to happen to Jesus. But they did know that they were supposed to love one another as Jesus loved and served them. That was the piece that they were to take with them, the piece of information that they were to carry, and also that piece of Christ that would be with them throughout their lives. Maybe they were longing for practical information, for guidelines and an instruction manual clearly spelled out, but instead they hear about Jesus' love for them. And in the middle of that chaos and sorrow, they are to take that with them into the world. Not just to love one another within a community, which is crucial to keeping them together, but to go beyond, so others see and experience this love in whatever situation they might be in. What they will come to find is enacting humble love, encountering mercy and forgiveness, and striving to be loving even when it's awkward and painful and frustrating, will be a bridge connecting them with God and their neighbor. What they and we often underestimate is how slow and how tedious the process of learning to love and building those bridges is. Cedar Creek and the elements slowly carved out Natural Bridge in the Virginia countryside. It didn't happen overnight. And while the bridge may seem impressive and immovable, it is still subject to the elements around it. Loving as Christ has loved us is a bit like that. Christ lays out that example so that we can follow. Christ shows us how to love by taking on flesh and living among us, experiencing life in our shoes. He shows us how to love through washing the dirt and dust off of disciples' feet and going to the cross. He shows us how to love in offering forgiveness, mercy to perpetrators, to deniers, betrayers, and confused followers. He shows us how to love by forgiving our sins and offering us grace time and time again. And the Spirit guides us as we try to navigate life together. But here's the tricky bit. Allowing ourselves to be loved by Christ as we are and fumbling through learning how to love God, ourselves, and others is never straightforward. Hearing about what the apostles or the people we admire accomplished is impressive and intimidating. But disciples are always taught and formed. Like limestone rock, we are subject to those elements around us. We are shaped over time. And sometimes the things that we encounter threaten to harden us, to make us feel like we want to defend, protect, or maybe even hide under a rock. But those same encounters can gentle and guide us into deeper love. They can form us into even more beautiful creations. It's a really slow and a deliberate process. It's one that brings about transformation, though. It asks for patience with God, ourselves, and each other. It asks that we be open to the imperfection, the vulnerability, and re-engaging in relationships, even if we've been wounded in the past. It asks that we also learn how to practice tough love by establishing healthy boundaries that enable us to honor who we were created and redeemed to be as God's beloved children. We see this struggle played out in the Acts reading. They are engaged in the tumultuous process of learning how to be followers of Christ in community. Some only wanted believers who were following Judaism and the laws and traditions of this ancient faith. And others were kind of curious if God was at work through the wild spirit who was calling them to widen the circle, to expand their point of view, and to enter the uncharted territory of welcoming former pagans and non-Jewish believers. And so the leadership of the early church asked Peter the pointed question, "Hey, why did you go to those uncircumcised men and eat with them? Why are you enjoying food and fellowship with those sinners?" I love that the text tells us, then Peter began to explain it to them step by step. He tells about how God revealed that his vision of the kingdom was too narrow. He even explains how he too protested, being uncomfortable with going against the safety net of the rules he'd been given up to that point. And when Gentiles, non-Jewish believers, show up at his door, he hears the Spirit urging him, "Do not make a distinction between them and us." Like elements forming rock, Peter explains step by step how the Spirit led him to eat with those with whom it would seem he had little in common. He finishes with, "If God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" Peter, that rock on whom God built the church, was changed and shaped by a river of God's grace. God built a bridge with those who hadn't yet heard of God's love. And through an imperfect and flawed disciple and a really, really messy early church, God built a bridge between Jews and Gentiles. God built a bridge for the gospel to go out into the world to all the hurting, afraid, lonely, disbelieving, imperfect people at every time and place. So what does it mean to love one another as Christ has loved us here and now? Following Jesus means we are all called to struggle and wrestle with this daily. We are to wonder how to build bridges when it seems impossible, how to forgive, how to move on, how to set boundaries to help ourselves and others. We are faced with the question of what it means to pursue justice and equity for those who have been marginalized and deprived of a voice. We wonder what it means to work to care for the least of these and to know that it is never going to be clear cut, that life is lived in that gray area, in the in-between. Learning to love, practicing forgiveness, empathy, understanding, letting go of our need for legalism is the really slow work of the Spirit. And we always want to speed that up, to be fully perfected disciples here and now. But we are continually being shaped by the river of God's love flowing in and through us. What God asks for is little children open to receiving, practicing, bearing that love in a world moment by moment. So where do you see Christ's love present in your life? Who do you have difficulty loving? This is the point where I'm always glad we don't shout that out, like as an answer. Just keep it inside. Where is there a need for love in the middle of all of the world's craziness? How can you take that radical, foolish love into the world with you after we're dismissed today? Maybe it's apologizing where you've made a mistake, praying for those who are hurting, welcoming the stranger, wondering if God's love is for them too. Maybe it's trying to understand another's point of view, serving your neighbors so that they can see or experience love through your actions. Each small bit of love, like a splash of water, changes that hard, rocky landscape of our hearts and our neighborhoods. That kind of love makes people sit up, pay attention, and ask, how can you do that? Why would you do that when you might get hurt? We do it because we follow the one who showed us love in the middle of being betrayed, denied, abandoned, and crucified, to share that he's the same one who continues to move our hearts to love even when it is really, really hard, to tell people it is difficult, confusing, and we don't do it right all the time. But we are still sent, like Peter and those first disciples, to build bridges of love when withdrawal and isolation are far easier, to dare to believe that God has called us to slowly change the world with the radical and crazy love of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.